Good afternoon. As a native, we usually establish our clanship. I see some natives here. I am born for the Salt people and then born to the Bitterwater clan. So that's my clan. Today I'm going to be doing an overview of syphilis on the Navajo Nation. And then because of the outbreak with syphilis on the Navajo Nation, we were funded a special project through CDC, and that project is called a Diné Unity Project. And then I'll be also doing an overview of a health belief model that we use, and then the community-based participatory approach that we have been using. And so, and then some of the strategies that we use for this project. Syphilis rate has been on the rise on the Navajo Nation since 2001, and it has been up in the 200 level. And in 2002, since there was close to 300 individuals with syphilis, it was decided between the tribe and Indian Health Service that we look to CDC for technical assistance. And so we had an individual that came out to Navajo Nation and did an evaluation using cases that we have. The infection rate among Navajo in McKinley County. McKinley County is a county that is a border to the Navajo Nation. And so the infection rate was 100 per 1,000. And this exceeds the normal rate in comparison with the United States and then other ethnic group. Risk behavior for syphilis among Navajos or substance abuse. A lot of our Navajos, they have a high rate of alcohol abuse due to the socioeconomic status on the nation, and then high rate of unemployment. I believe our unemployment rate is close to 50%. And then lack of knowing how to use condom. Also, men having sex with men. And then the individual from CDC that came out, Dr. David Wan, in his study and his evaluation, he also pinpointed that a lot of the risk behaviors for individual contracting syphilis, they frequented one of the bar in Gallup, which is in McKinley County. And then a lot of those individuals were recently incarcerated in tribal jail. The Diné project is on the Navajo Nation, and it's in within the four corners of our nation. Majority of our reservation lies in Arizona, and then part of it in New Mexico, and then just maybe less than 1,000 people are living in the state of Utah. As I've said earlier, this project was funded by CDC in 2004 because of the outbreak, and the contract was a three-year pilot project, and which is a response to the syphilis outbreak that we have been having. And we had to do a lot of intervention with some of the resources within the area, such as tribal detention centers on our reservation. And then some of the other interventions were done on the streets of Gallup, New Mexico. Recently, there was a documentary that was done which characterizes how Native Americans frequent that area, and there's a high rate of alcohol abuse. And so I'm not surprised that we have a lot of our tribal members frequenting Gallup. And The goal of the Diné Unity Project is to strengthen local capacity on Navajo. And by building the capacity on Navajo, we wanted to also cross-train some of the tribal workers between my program and the health education program, and so that these staff would be ready to do screening and then arrange for immediate treatment of any STDs. We had to also do a lot of collaboration and networking, and finding the right tool to do health education. And what we had to do was we did an hour health education, and within that hour we educate the inmates about the risk reduction, and then we also inform them how they can be informed about reduction and then interventions. This project really depended on collaboration and networking. Without networking and collaboration, I don't think it would have been possible for us to implement this project. It was essential that we work with our tribal members, government, nonprofit organizations, such as Community Health Representative Outreach Program, which is my program, and then there's a Navajo Health Education, social hygiene program, and tribal detention centers. We also worked briefly with a juvenile detention center, which is located in the central part of the Navajo Nation. And in working with the detention centers, we became aware that the cultural difference was important, and that we had to be mindful of cultural sensitivity. We also had to work with the State Health Department of Arizona, Utah, and New Mexico. As I mentioned earlier, CDC, Nijoni Center, they're located in Gallup, New Mexico, and this is a detox center where a lot of Navajos, when they get released from jails right there in Gallup, they would go to Nijoni centers because Nijoni Center would feed them and then provide lodging for one day and one night. And then we also contracted with the University of New Mexico Public Health Department to do our project evaluation. And so our project evaluation is in the process right now, and I believe it's about 80-85% completed. The targeted population for intervention with this project was incarcerated Navajos in tribal detention centers, and then just briefly, it was juveniles that were at one of our tribal detention centers. And then those who have been through detoxification at NCI in Gallup. And then the other target population was also the transient Navajos in border town. The Navajo Nation is a huge reservations, and then we have several border towns where our Navajo people, they frequent it, and so there's a high rate of substance abuse in those areas. And we also had to work very closely with Navajo Nation Behavioral Health. They have a outpatient alcohol abuse program. And then just the Navajo Nation population at large. We use the health belief model to put our intervention. And in putting together our intervention, we knew that there's a high rate of susceptibility because of our traditional, our historic background. the Navajos, they were victims of all kinds of abuses for centuries. And then today, our reservation, the profile of that is we have a high rate of substance abuse, we have a high rate of unemployment, and so those, the high rate of social and health problems, they also contribute to susceptibility. And in terms of severity, as a traditional Navajos, they believe that infectious disease should not be present within their nation. And so it was kind of difficult doing a treatment intervention plan. And so we had to be mindful of the traditional beliefs and values out there. In putting this model together, we also experienced some of the bumpy road, and there were some benefits, and then there are some barriers to treatments. And so we had to also rely on the IHS. Nancy Beal is here, and she's with the IHS. And so we had to collaborate with them and come up with a sensible model that can accommodate our people in terms of interventions. And with self-efficacy, what we had to do was we had to do a role model. And earlier I indicated that there was not too many people practicing using condom. So we had to actually do a role model and show them how they can put on a condom, and then do an education with them. And with community-based participatory approach, it is a this is one of the approach that we use in doing our evaluation and research. And in doing the research, we had to, and it was a must through our tribal institutional review board, that we had to go through them, and every piece of instrument had to be approved by them. For example, surveys. And then our intervention plan, all that had to be approved by our IRB. And when we went before the IRB, they told us that we had to go back to the community, make sure that the community officials, leaders, approve our plan for intervention. And while we're doing presentations and getting support from the local communities and leaders, we had to make sure that we know what their culture of value is and how they value their language. In creating the educational interventions, again, we had to get input from our community members and then our leaders. We researched some of the evidence-based STD interventions that were used out in the mainstream areas, but we found out that these interventions that have been used by the mainstream would not cater to the needs of the Navajos, and so we had to do a series of meetings, discussions, and review the educational intervention that we have put together. And so in putting our educational intervention together, we also had to partner with a lot of tribal programs, State Department, and so forth. And with the staff that we have, that we're going to be doing the screening and education, there is a lot of role playing that we had to do in training our staff, so that we had to be mindful that because of the sensitivity involved with the STD, and then because of our traditional upbringing, we had to be very careful. The results of the this research is that it is interactive, and then we realize that it can be easily translated into Navajo language, but at times it was difficult to translate, do the translation back into our native language, since you don't talk about sex within our tribe, and then I think with other tribes it's like that too, you don't talk about sex. And we had to be mindful that our educational materials had to be understood across the Navajo people, and that we had to provide a specific example to get our education across. And so there was a lot of role-playing, and then we had to redo our educational intervention until we felt we had it right. So it took a while. And so our intervention also indicated that we had to encourage Navajos to be tested for STD, because Navajos, they were very hesitant to get tested for STD. And in our, the process, the result of this process also indicated that we needed to work with our people in terms of promoting use of condom, and then partner negotiation. So that was successful. And these are just an example of some of the educational interventions that we use. For example, one of the activities that we played with them, just to get them going, and then just to get the interaction going, is how can one get STD? And then somebody would answer the question, and whoever gets the question right, we would provide some sort of incentive. Which STDs are high on the Navajo Nation? And so those are just some of the games, and then the education interventions that we use. Okay, so these are examples of the PowerPoint presentations that we use. And we ask them questions about how STD is spread, and then we also let them know about what is going on locally, because a lot of them, they weren't aware about what was going on within their communities, or either within their surrounding reservations. So with our strategy, we had to start with communities, and then partnership. And then we also had to identify the strengths that some of our staff have. And so we build up on those strengths that they had. And then we had to also make sure that we're speaking the appropriate language. And then because our language, since our reservation is so huge, the way you pronounce a certain word in one part of the reservation, you say it differently in the other part of the reservation, so we had to make sure that we're cognizant of that. And then identify a facilitator. There is two sites where we were doing a jail syphilis screening, and we had to identify a facilitator that would hold regular meetings, and then work with staff and stakeholders, and then working with local government, tribal and local leaders. And earlier I said this is a multi partnership and collaboration effort. And so with that, I'd like to give credit to some of these organizations that have partnered with us and that have made this project a success. Navajo Nation health, education, social hygiene, tribal jails, behavioral health, tribal council, and then the IRB, and also the Nejoni Center in Gallup, New Mexico. I think I can answer some questions before I leave. Are there any questions? Otherwise, I'm going to be leaving now so I can catch my plane. And then I have Nancy Beal that's here from IHS. She's well familiar with the Navajo Nation and then the tribal programs there. And so if you have any questions later after I leave, Nancy will help you. And thank you.